I think this is the longest we've gone without talking to one another for years.
Probably 6 years.
I mean, I feel like I don't know you as well as I used to.
I know, you're a stranger to me.
We should start again, I think.
I know, I want it to work.
Yeah.
We've had a break.
Yeah.
Let's just see what's left.
Let's just stay together for the sake of the listeners.
Yeah, exactly. They matter.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 257 of the Mid-Faith Crisis podcast. My name is Nick Page, and there on a screen in front of me, in all his glory, is the magnificent Joe Davis.
Hello, thank you. It's great to be back.
And that was a proper intro.
That was really, what's happened to you? You must be rested and well. And
I feel like a different man.
Look at you. Are you a different man?
I am, yes. I've had a lot of surgery, and I'm now Chris Packham.
The transformation is complete. Well, it's lovely to see you, may I say, and it's lovely to be back with the listeners. Hello, welcome to all of you. Who'd have thought?
I know, yeah. Thank you very much for your forbearance while we've been away. We've had quite a long time off. It's the longest we've had off, actually, since we started doing the thing, I think, really.
Well, off air, I mean, we only had a fortnight's holiday each, but it
That's
sort of
true.
Didn't
That's
quite
true.
Overlap, did it? But yeah,
no, but we stacked up those interviews beforehand, which we should be talking about, no doubt, during this this podcast.
Well, they were marvelous. Yes, we should. We should indeed. Yeah, thank you to Ali and Joanna.
Yeah, indeed, thank you. And thank you to you for doing the interviews. And thank you to me for editing them and getting the shows up before going away.
Yes, well done you, because actually it's all about you.
Yeah, and thank you for the music, as ever. anyway, we are back. And so this episode, we thought, actually, we haven't got anything really organised anyway. So we're going to just catch up on what we've been doing. And it is all about us, as Joe said.
But if anyone wants to write in and tell us what you've been up to, we're always glad to read that stuff. So
yes,
do send it in to Joe at midfaithcrisis.org. Love to catch up with you all. Thank you.
That would be great. So church notices to start with, obviously.
Well, a little bit late in the day, I suspect. But today, if you're listening on Saturday, the 7th of October, is the actual day with Chris Scott, or the morning with Chris Scott. So I'm really excited about that. I'll bring you up to date next week as to how it went. I think there's about 20 of us going to be there. And I think it's going to be magnificent, I'll be honest. So that's fantastic. Some of them are dear listeners, and they may be listening on their way there, on the journey there. If you are, hello, can't wait to see you. But here's another church notice. I know, not one, but two. This is what happens when we go away. So those of you who listened to the magnificent Alison Mayall, she is coming to our house to do a day for Enneagram type sixes. So if you think you're a six and you'd like to know more about what that means and, you know, how to deal with your life generally, then on Saturday, November the 11th, that'll be 10 till 4 o'clock in Worthing at my house, we're putting on a day as normal, kind of donation basis. Would be great. And if you want to come, just let me know. I mean, we've got limited spaces because it's just the number of people we can fit around our tables. It's about 10, to be honest. Fire off an email. Point your email machines to joe@midfaithcrisis.org and register your interest, and I'll email you back and let you know if you're in. So that'd be great. Enneagram Type 6 Day.
Great. And, yeah, can I say a bit about that Enneagram episode right now?
Yes.
Because, I mean, audio notwithstanding,
yes,
which was frankly a disappointment, but, you know, I've gotten used to that now. I thought it was superb. I thought it was really interesting.
Yeah.
And I thought Ali was great, and I'd love to do a bit more on all that. Here's the thing, Joe. My wife actually listened to that episode.
What? She's listened to an episode?
That is the one and only episode of this podcast she's listened to. I think largely influenced by the fact that I was barely in it.
Yeah.
You know. I just appeared at the beginning and end.
Well, that is a turn up for the books.
Yes, yeah. So there you are. And she really liked it. And had, as normal with my wife, lots of questions. Because one of the enduring mysteries with Claire is what Enneagram number she is.
Yes.
I mean, I've tried to tell her she's a 10, but that didn't even work as a pickup line. You know, so, you know.
So, brilliant.
Anyway, so it was a great episode. I loved it. And the interview last time was really interesting as well. So lots to feed on, I think. So well done. That was really good.
Yeah. So, I mean, that is going to be a superb day. And we'll lay on lunch for you. We'll do some soup and stuff. So, yeah, be great. Great to have anyone down there. That's be good.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Well, I'll put that on the website.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, can I ask the big question? How are you, dear boy? It's so good to see you, mate.
Likewise.
I know you've been back a while. Tell us about your holiday. Remind us where you went and what you did. What did you do last summer?
Well, here's the funny thing. Before we went, as I said, we recorded those interviews, or we recorded the episodes, really, and we just did little intros, if you remember. And I know that a lot of people's short-term memory isn't good, really, which is why they keep listening to the podcast, because they've forgotten how bad it is. But if you remember, we did two kind of sets of intros, one where I'd had fantastic weather and Joe had had bad weather, and one the other way around. And they were very jokey because they were overstating the case for Britain in September. But it was sweltering.
You were there for that really hot week, weren't you?
The weather's gone bananas, gone bonkers. And I found myself on the west coast of Scotland looking for shade. You know, this was what it was like because it was so hot.
That is extraordinary, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, so we went to Scotland, had a fantastic time, really good time, went to the Cairngorms. I'd never been there before. It is stunningly beautiful, which I will talk about a bit later, maybe. But it was just lovely. It was wonderful. Yeah, really good. And yourself, where did you go?
Well, I went somewhere I'd never been before. I went to Bude in North Cornwall, and I was with the lovely Dave and Ali, of course. Did I mention she's doing an Enneagram Day on Saturday, November the 11th? Anyway.
You might have let that slip.
Yeah, I might have let that slip. It was just, you know, as holidays go, it's just the perfect blend. We were in a lovely place. It was right by the canal there. So I overlooked the canal. Behind the canal was a nature reserve. So we're already ticking a lot of boxes before we've even got to the sea and the sea pool there. So there's this natural sort of sea pool and the tide comes in, you know, it's all full of seawater and it's like a swimming pool. I mean, it's amazing. And then the swell was pretty good, so lots of boogie boarding and then lots of kayaking on the canal and lots of general fun. There was a little TV room in this Airbnb place, like a TV room, which of course we immediately called the John Wick suite, where sport and violent films were watched, including John Wick 4, which I have now actually seen.
I imagine it's the thing of gentle beauty.
It is a thing of great beauty and a very good sort of fourth part of the trilogy. Oh, no, that's not right. Whatever it is. What's a four? A three is a trilogy. What's four?
I think it's a tetralogy.
Well, there you go. Mm. Yes, that. What he said. It was very fitting, very good. And I'll say no more because I don't want to spoil it for anyone. So. Yeah, that was good. Yeah, really good. And the weather was fine. You know, it was not as hot as your week, but pleasant and didn't really matter if it did rain because we were in the sea a lot of the time. So there. Yeah.
So I'm slightly confused because you say you've never been there before, but you've been to Cornwall
I've been to Cornwall many times.
I think you've been to Cornwall every year for about the past 40 years.
I do love Cornwall, but I've never been to Bude before.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, talking of birds.
Ah, yeah. Go on.
I give you two words.
Yes.
Golden eagle.
No. You kept that quiet. You never told me that. I mean, I absorbed all the beautiful pictures. You never told me you saw a golden eagle, you swine.
Well, I didn't see one. I just gave you two words.
Oh, I see.
No, I didn't see one at all. I mean, you know, they're very hard to spot.
You are such a...
I saw a crested tit, though. It was a bloke in a wig driving a Tesla. It was, There were actually, there were loads of Teslas in this part of Scotland where we were. Yeah. We went to sort of Aviemore and Pitlochry. And there's a Tesla showroom in Pitlochry on the high street. A shop or something. It was remarkable. Anyway, no, I didn't. I wish you were there, actually. I wanted you there because I've lost the ability to see birds anywhere. Really. I can't seem to spot them. Okay. I did see... where we were staying in a converted cricket pavilion, which is a blissful thing
it is
for me.
For
actually,
you.
Yeah, yeah. And I did see a goldcrest.
Oh, lovely!
While I was brushing my teeth, which was nice. You could see it from the bathroom.
You didn't use it to brush your teeth, I trust.
No, it wasn't come quite close enough. Really.
Well, I've got a word for you, and the word is kingfisher. Mm. And sadly, this is the only sort of downside of the holiday. I was sadly attacked by a kingfisher.
You were attacked by one?
Yes, I was. It was a very dramatic thing. So picture, if you will, this gorgeous slimline body in a kayak, a fairly unstable kayak. Anyway, it's all gone swimmingly well. No one's actually fallen in the canal. Of course they haven't.
No.
And we're looking for kingfishers because we had spotted them a few times around. And suddenly, Dave at my side says, there's one. And it literally flies over our legs and up to the left in a tree. And I just focus on that part of the tree and sort of go to stop the kayak so we don't go hurtling past it. I think somehow I miss with the oar, miss the water completely. Mm. And then there's this beautiful kind of slow motion tipping over to the right. Absolutely nothing you can do about it. And into the canal, I jolly well went. It was a beautiful comedy moment for everybody else who's heard about it and for Dave. But here's the tragedy is I never saw the kingfisher again. But it was the kingfisher's fault. It was born out of sheer excitement at seeing a kingfisher. And I feel like, in a way, that kingfisher manipulated me.
But didn't it attack you, did it? I mean, you said you were attacked by a kingfisher. I had visions of it sort of, after you fell in, it diving in after you, thinking, wow, that's an enormous fish. I'm having that.
You say a lot of stuff in books that exaggerates the point.
This is true.
Yeah. So, you know, there you go.
Anyway, so those are the holidays. So let's talk about our spiritual life, shall we?
Oh, okay.
How did that go for you on the holiday?
Well, fantastic, I guess, is the answer. Yeah, great. I mean, more so than normal, because you actually have a bit of space. I listened to, do you remember we read out a bit from Jim Palmer on the last time we were together? Jim Palmer, he's a kind of American deconstructionist type, American pastor. Well, he now does a podcast called Non-Religious Spirituality. Mm. I don't like to promote other podcasts, but, you know, I listened to it. It was professional. It's about 15, 20 minutes long. It was everything we aren't. But it was really interesting. Actually, it's quite hard work listening to just one single voice now. I realise that all the podcasts I listen to are normally two people or three, and it's a conversation. So it's hard to just listen to one person directing stuff. But what he was saying, I thought, was profoundly helpful. I still think he tends to overcook the sort of negative side of Christianity. And I think that's just because the audience he's really playing to. But I think he's really got something to say. And I found it quite inspiring, actually. A non-religious spirituality is a phrase I shall be stealing and owning as my own, I think, in the future. So I really was grateful for that. I was grateful for the books that I read. Well, what did I read? The Satsuma Complex by Bob Mortimer. Very funny, I must say. I think you would appreciate that. And a couple of others as well, who I can't immediately remember, so they couldn't have been that good. But I think, you know, in terms of my theme for the year, which is, you know, showing up, you know, being present and everything, it's just so easy to do on holiday, isn't it? I mean, you know, I go for a walk around the nature reserve in the morning, or Rachel had a lovely window that she sat in overlooking the canal so she could have an hour's sort of quiet, and that's brilliant for her before the day starts. So just... yeah, really good. Time to connect, but also I think, above all, the space to just think those thoughts you don't have time to think about. So that's what I really appreciate. Where are we at? Where are we honestly at? Where are we at in our lives? Where are we at in our relationships? Where are we at with work and play and at sort of whatever churches? Where are we at with that? We were really grateful. So I'll say a bit more of that in a little while. But so I think question was, what was it? How is talk about our spiritual lives? Is that what is that the old fashioned question you asked? Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
How is it with your soul?
Thank you, 1980s Nick, for that question. I appreciate it. No, it's good. How about you? Where are you at?
Well, yeah, I think similar. I think, as you know, I was pretty drained, by the time I got to the holiday. And so a lot of that anxiety was taken with me, I think. You can't just sort of easily get rid of that. You sort of pack it in the luggage with you. But I agree about the space and the time for reflection. Although I didn't actually intentionally do a lot. I didn't, I took my journal with me, for example, but I actually never wrote in it at all.
Did
I didn't do that. No. And I normally do when I'm on holiday. I normally sort of keep a journal of it, and I enjoy doing that. But I didn't really this time. I think I was just a bit sort of completely sort of emptied, really. And so I didn't really want to do that.
Yeah.
But I think the challenge is exactly what you say, is sort of how do you bring that space back into the everyday life, really? What holiday gives you sometimes is also, it gives you this special place to go, obviously, and you see that. But also it gives you, you often end up on holiday going, oh, we used to do this a lot, why don't we do this more often? I used to make time for this kind of thing. How have I not made time for it? And so I think one of the things in life is to try and, you know, recapture those moments, to try and bring a bit of holy day actually back into your life, I suppose, to use a terrible pun. But anyway, that's what I sort of felt.
Isn't rest, just resting, is really important. You know, if you're fortunate enough to be able to have a 2-week break off work, and I never take that for granted, I do consider myself enormously blessed to be able to do that a couple of times a year, it's just so good, just the act of stopping the daily routine and resting, and, like, you know, going to bed in the afternoon if you want a siesta, you know, just to sleep a bit more. I slept loads on her. I've slept far more than I have on previous holidays. I'm normally the one who, you know, because my alarm goes off 6:20, which I know isn't early for many people who listen to this podcast, but it's kind of early for me. And it's a shock to get up at that time every day now. But normally I'm the one on holiday who, it makes no difference that I'm on holiday. My system is so set to waking up at that time. I just wake up. But I didn't. I was sleeping to 7:30. That's
interesting.
That's a serious lie-in, 7:30.
7:30 is your idea of a lie-in.
Yeah, when you've gone to bed at like 10:30, because, you know.
Mate, I can go to bed at 8:30 and not get up till 10:30.
Seriously? How?
Yeah, I'm not always asleep all that time, but, you know, it's just I like bed. I like it's a safe space, isn't it? I like that.
Bed is just for sleeping. That's it. Well, and, you know, other recreational activity, which we won't talk about on this podcast. But, you know, it's not for reading, for example. I don't like reading in bed.
Don't you?
No, I don't like reading in bed. I like to get up, have a cup of coffee, sit somewhere quiet and read.
Well, I've had to get up early this week, actually, because we've had the builders in.
Oh, right.
And, you know, they arrive early. I mean, they don't come to the house early. They arrive earlier, they park over the road for about 45 minutes having a smoke. You know, that's... And I'm thinking, I'm paying for this, aren't I? You know, you know. In fact, I think Jesus missed a trick, because when he said he's going to come like a thief in the night, what he really should have said is, I'm going to come like a British builder.
Really. Drink a lot of tea.
The second coming, yeah. I'll disappear halfway through the afternoon and... It'll take longer. The end times will take a lot longer than you think. And it costs you more. Anyway.
Yeah, good point.
What I did try and do on holiday was what you were talking about gratitude.
Oh,
I
yeah.
I did try and really focus on gratitude, because I have figured that one of the only ways to get out of, this grump is through gratitude. But I am finding it quite difficult, really, because it feels like I'm playing a role sometimes, because I'm not really feeling grateful. I'm just trying to, you know, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm faking it sometimes. But I suppose you, with gratitude, you sort of fake it till you make it, really. I don't know, really.
I think probably you do sometimes, yeah. I think you're wise to be aware of that you are faking it. But I think even that that's good, because at least you're saying, look, I want to be grateful and I am going to be grateful for this. But in all honesty, there's still quite a bit of grumpiness in my soul.
Yes.
And
yes.
That's a much better way than just faking it without acknowledging it, I think.
Yeah, you're probably right. I mean, I'm pioneering grumpy gratitude, really.
that's their next book, Grumpy Gratitude.
Yeah, Grumpy Gratitude is the name of the thing. Yeah. So, you know, it's sort of gritted teeth. It's not a grin. I'm gritting my teeth, you know, anyway. But we're getting there. We're getting there.
Dare I ask about the state of your plumbing? Because that was quite a theme before we went.
This is true in every sense. The plumbers have been again,
yeah,
and done something else, and the two radiators are still not working. The mystery is still there. This is the third plumber we've had. He's just gone. I don't know. So you know, I think we just have to almost give up on that, short of taking up the floorboards upstairs. But anyway, it's fine. It's fine. I'm at peace. I'm at peace with my plumbing.
Good. That's a good place to get to.
I think for all middle-aged men, that's very important.
That is a good place. Oh, dear, oh, dear. Listen, I'll tell you what. So one of the things that happened while we were away, because for a while now we've been thinking about Soul Place. Do you realise we've been doing Soul Place for 10 years?
Wow.
So that's our Thursday night kind of thing. Mm. And I think Rach and I have been feeling for a while, it's time to mix it up a bit for a couple of reasons. One, because I think when we started, we always thought, actually, people have come to us for a few months. We sort of, you know, patch them up like a hospital and send them back into their churches, you know. But actually, what we quickly realised is for some people, there's no going back. You know, depending on the severity of the worst case scenario, church is a toxic place for some of the people. Best case scenario, it's just boring, and they don't get what's being said there. So gradually the group has sort of become a little bit more static, which is fine. I mean, you know, we're still growing and learning, and I think encouraging one another. So that's not a problem in itself, but it's just different to how we had envisaged it. But perhaps the bigger thing is that so many people are saying, we'd love to come to something like that, but you know, we can't have them because of the nature of Soul Place, you know, is to have a meal and to, you know, discuss and to listen and to, you know, we got the setup there. And I think, you know, it's quite a lot of work. We've been doing it for 10 years and, you know, just a sense that it might be time to move on. So we were chatting to them last Thursday and saying, this is how we're feeling like we probably need to start pause it in the spring with a view to having a few months to think, so that the new thing, whatever it is, will emerge. But I hope that the new thing will mean we can embrace a larger number of people, so it probably won't be a meal in our house, for example. Much now. Not that we still have lots of people for meals in our house, I trust, but you know, I think whatever Soul Place morphs into. And I think we both feel quite excited about that, and excited about this sort of, you know, more focus on non-religious spirituality. I think probably we have maybe a bit more of a focus on the Enneagram as well. And just on a sort of relentless focus on reconstruction rather than deconstruction, because it definitely started out 10 years ago as a place to sort of safely question and deconstruct. But now I think there's plenty of places to do that. There's plenty of podcasts. There's great books being written in those 10 years. There's lots going on. How do we reconstruct? How do we have a vibrant spirituality for, you know, 21st century life? So that's where we're thinking. Haven't got any answers, but that's what we'd like to do. if anyone's got any ideas.
That's really exciting.
Yeah, I think it could be interesting. Yeah. So maybe we do some stuff. Maybe we do some online stuff. Maybe we hold some more days and events. Maybe we just go and dance naked on the beach. I don't know.
Oh, same old, same old. Anyway, you know, I think that's really interesting and exciting. I always thought that one of the issues with Soul Place was the scalability. You know, that you can't, not that you always need to scale. I mean, that's a myth, but that, you know, a lot of people see that model, want to be part of that.
Yes, exactly. I've felt it for 10 years, to be honest, but now I think it might be time to do something. And we've gained some good experience in those 10 years, but also we've changed a lot, you know, no doubt about it.
Well, that sounds very exciting, I think, very interesting. I mean, talking of picking up things or doing something new, well, it's not really new, but I've started blogging again.
Have you?
Yeah. I mean, I haven't told anyone or done anything with it particularly.
So no one's reading it.
Well, no, because, well, so one of the things is, obviously, I've deleted my Twitter account or whatever it's called now, whatever that man-child has called it now. I'm not on Facebook, and Instagram's just annoying me with ads and all this kind of stuff. But I thought, well, still, the online world deserves to hear my opinions.
Yes, indeed. You
know, and it's crying out for them.
And Bill wants to hear your opinion.
And the dog wants me. Hang on a minute, excuse me, I have to deal with him. Bill, go away.
You should have your own dog training show.
Interrupted. Anyway. Yeah, so I've got a thing using a platform called micro.blog, and it's very simple. It's like it is all about just little simple blog posts, you know, nothing too long or onerous.
Great.
Just sharing some thoughts and links and things like that. So when I'm ready, I'll put a link up and on the webpage.
Well, please do. Because societally wise, is that even a word? I don't know that it is. There's nothing going on. I mean, God bless Richie Sunak, loving his support for green issues while we're on holiday. Yeah, loving that.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah. Great news on levelling up with HS2. Yes. Although I'm quite pleased he's not just going to destroy all the countryside that would have taken.
Talking of countryside, you see, one of the things I blogged about was about the beauty of where we'd been, you know, because we went on a couple of train journeys. One was from Settle to Carlisle, which is, you know, a fantastic train journey up through the sort of North Yorkshire Dales. And the other was from Fort William to Mallaig in Scotland, where I think you can go on the sort of Hogwarts thing, but we didn't. We just went on an ordinary train. But one of the things that I felt, and I looked out at this scenery, at this beauty, was I felt almost sad. It was a really weird feeling. I don't know if you've ever felt this. You know that phrase, achingly beautiful?
Yeah.
And it was wonderful, but it kind of made me sad. And I wondered what that was about. And I kind of thought, well, maybe it's to do with the fact that you there's a perfection out there that, you know, in this life you can never quite reach. You know, there's that beauty there, but you know that it's unattainable. It's, in a sense, it's not real, you know, because it's an idealized sort of landscape in a way that's going past. You don't see all the difficulties of living there, for example. You don't see any of that. You just see this beautiful vista.
Yeah.
And so one of the pieces I wrote is sort of reflecting on whether that is some kind of urge to, as it were, in the words of Saint Joni of Mitchell, to get back to the garden. We all want to get back to the garden. You know, that's some urge for the perfect life, the perfect world, the thing that we've sort of lost somehow, or that progressive governments are trying to ruin,
destroy.
Really, yeah.
For sure.
So yeah, anyway, it's an interesting kind of exercise for me to just try and the thing I've got to do about it is I've got to try and keep not self-conscious about it. I've got to keep relaxed about it. The difficulty of being a writer professionally is you're always thinking about the audience, kind of, you know, an effect, and I just want it to be a bit more relaxed than that.
You've started writing, put the link up so
Okay, you know, I will.
There may be up to 17 people who want to listen to it.
There may be. And, of course, one of the things that features on the blogs are some of the churches I've been to.
Oh.
And writing about. So I expect you'll be hitting that refresh button.
Ooh, can't wait. Yeah. Hope there's photos.
Oh, there were photos. There were photos.
Yeah. Yeah.
I went to some great churches while I was away, by the way. Fantastic churches. Oh, man. Really good. I'll tell you about them another time.
Well, no, can I just tell you my only experience of going into a church on holiday?
Okay.
So there was a church in Bude. It was open all the time, so you could go and sit in it. So I did go and sit in it. And here's the thing. Moments before, I had been sat overlooking the cliffs, where I saw a chough for the first time, by the way, and the sea, and just, you know, the sunlight and the beauty of it all and the colours. And then I went and sat in a church with that smell of damp, which you interpret as years of history and prayer and worship. and here's what I thought. I didn't think it was a bad thing to go and sit in the church. I found it helped me listen to myself.
Mm.
More helpfully than being sat outside where I was just distracted by the beauty of everything.
Yes, yeah.
But there were sort of statues, you know, there was a crucifix there. There was things like that, which one would traditionally look at and meditate on. And there were stained glass windows and there was an altar and there was, you know, like I say, the damp historical smell. And it made me feel like this is just a tourist attraction. It's like people drop in because it's on the main route on a path and they go, oh yeah, there's a smell of damp. And or maybe they do more than that. I don't know. But it is incomparable to the beauty that is just outside where there's birds flying around. And I know we had this experience when I went round a church with you because I was more fascinated by the house martins than being in the church. It's a strange dynamic. It made me feel a bit sad being in the church. Although I did appreciate the quietness of it, it made me feel sad because I just thought, this seems so sort of dead inside. And compared to the vibrancy of the colours outside. And I don't really know how many people who wouldn't go to church anyway would actually come in here. And if they did, I'd love to know what they experienced when they went in there. I've got my own ideas about it, but I'd love to know what they actually experienced if they were to go in there. Yeah, it's just fascinating. Anyway, that's all I have to say.
No, I think, well, we can't know, can we? And as it says in the Bible, different strokes for different folks.
Was that Mark?
I think it was something like that. No, you know, it's whatever you need and respond to. I think you shouldn't try and define what is a holy place for everyone. You know, that this is the thing. And so to some people who are needing, I don't know, statues or stained glass or so, or that kind of thing, I you know, that is what's going to be necessary. So I, before going on holiday, I went up to a meeting at Southwark Cathedral, and which is one of my favorite London churches, actually. It's wonderful. And I sat there for quite some time in the building, just watching people coming and going. And obviously it's a tourist attraction because there's the Globe nearby and there's Borough Market. And, you know, I also went to the Market Porter, which is a great pub, which is a place of pilgrimage for me.
Oh, that's amazing.
And so, yeah, you saw people coming in because it's a tourist attraction or because they're sightseeing or because just it's there and they were passing or because they thought they ought to. I don't think you should second guess what's going to happen to people in that moment or how God is going to speak to them or maybe not. You know, maybe some would just see a deadness as they do in those buildings. Whereas some would see something different. Some would see life and light. You know, it's going to be different for different people, really.
I'm sure. And I'm not saying for one second it's not a holy place. It is a holy place. By the sheer virtue of fact, everything's a holy place. So, you know, it's like saying something isn't spiritual. Well, yes, it is.
I think also we've been conditioned, haven't we, by years of familiarity and in fact by layers of interpretation of various things. So when we see a cross or a crucifix, our reaction to it now is actually different even to what it was, what we might have had a reaction to it 20 years ago. It's very different for someone who's not encountered any of that stuff either. Anyway, well, good. I'm glad you went into church. I went into a church while I was away. I went into many churches while I was away, but I actually went to church as well.
Did you?
I went to a service in Scotland, and a church in Scotland, and it was just wonderful. It was lovely. The fair dues. I know I give songwriters a bit of a kicking on this, but the songs that we sang were fantastic.
Okay,
and they were all from the kind of Iona community, kind of, John Bell stuff. I've lost a bit of paper with the songs on, with the classic amount of prep that I've done for this show. I will try and find them and put them on the website, because I'll talk about them next week.
Yeah, let's talk about them next week.
Okay, because they really made connections with your life. You know, they were about real things. So it was really good. Yeah.
Well, you've piqued my interest, and I hope you find that piece of paper.
So do I. Well, listen, have you got anything else that you wish to report back on what you did on your holes?
No. I just am enormously grateful, with a genuine, ungrumpy gratitude for holidays. I am grumpy about having to work again. And I need considerably more work than I've currently got.
Oh, you're always like this when you come back from holiday.
Yes, I know.
You're always like this. It'll be fine. And the family, they're okay?
Well, there's a few bits and pieces going on. My father-in-law is very poorly at the moment. My brother is still in and out of hospital and struggling. And I went to get my ankle, which is, you know, this is a long-term thing with my ankle. 10 years worth of physio and everything, not doing anything. So I've tried a last-ditch attempt, a new treatment with an osteo today, who's going to give it shockwave treatment. And I can only describe it as like having a little hammer hit the painful area 1,000 times a minute.
Oh,
supposedly this is going to help. And what's magnificent about it, I would not do this were it not for the generosity of our listeners, because the treatment for five treatments, how much do you think they want to charge me for five 15-minute treatments for this new technology?
I don't know. I wouldn't begin to say what.
£300.
Ooh.
More if you pay for them separately. That's the special deal. £300.
Wow.
So part of me thought, bye-bye, thanks so much. And in part of me thinks this is my last roll of the dice to actually... Otherwise, this thing's just here forever. It's never going to get better. So I'm going to do it. I could not afford that without a bit of help. So thank you to everyone who gives to the podcast. My ankle is in your hands. Thank you.
I mean, to be fair, I would pay good money to give you electric shocks. I'd probably pay double that, actually.
You would actually come down and hit me with the hammer, wouldn't you?
I would.
Alternative therapy.
It was well worth bribing that con man to persuade you that
That's
this was a real treatment.
About.
Yeah. Oh, well, I really hope that works for you. I know this has been a
thank
long
you.
Time.
Anything else for you? Anything we haven't said that we should have said?
No, I'm all right. I mean, I'm on some new medication that is making me slightly nauseous and possibly even nauseating. But at the same time,
it certainly is. Yeah, it's a terrible side effect. But haven't you been on that for about 50 years? It's nothing new about that.
I am both sick and sickening at the same time. But I'm all right, really. I am grumpily grateful, as you say. So that's good.
And there's the episode title.
Yeah, and we should wrap up. Thank you very much for listening. It's so good to be back.
Really.
It's so good to see you again, mate. That's really lovely.
Yeah, and you.
Thank you to everyone who supports the podcast. Thank you to everyone who writes in. Do write in and send your emails to...
joe@midfaithcrisis.org.
And we will be back with you next week.
And maybe even with a bit of content. Who can say?